Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
I don't want to delay much further. I was tired, so I'm taking a break. But we have an anointed, an awesome man of God that is going to be bringing the word today, Brother Angel. Would you come up, Brother Angel? I think the Bible says that those with the least amount of hair are the most anointed. All right, so here you go, brother.
How are we doing, church? You know, the Bible also talks about those who make fun of people with no hair, you know, they get dealt with. If you need further proof, you know, look to the book of 2 Kings when they make fun of Elisha. So it's an honor and a privilege to be up here. Pastor Ryan, thank you for the opportunity. Believe me when I tell you that I am nervous. I am nervous because since the time that Pastor Ryan asked me to bring the word, I've been seeking God's presence and I've been really going to battle and trying to understand, wow, God, what do you want your people to hear? See, preachers, you can't come up here with your own agenda. You can't come up here with what you want. It has to be with what God wants. And I believe that God has given me a word. No lie, he gave it to me yesterday. I have been preparing some other things, and he gave it to me yesterday. So yesterday I was helping my wife clean the house and studying. So with that being said, let's go ahead and turn our books to the Bible, to the book of Isaiah. And I want you to turn to chapter 64, please. And I don't know about you guys, but when you guys have it, can you just give me that strong Pentecostal amen? Like you just had some coffee and some good breakfast. Yes, I said breakfast. All right. Everybody got it? All right. So Isaiah 64, I'm going to be reading from the NLT version. Your version might have a different word in there. And I'll give you the what that word is rend. Okay. Rend means to tear. So Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. In other words, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when the fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. Final verse here that I'm going to be reading. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down and the mountains quaked at your presence. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks, my God. I give you honor and we give you glory, Father. My God, I pray, Father, that as this word that's about to be spoken, my God, that you have given your servant, Father, I pray, Father, that it be you speaking through me, my God. Anoint thy lips, my God. I decrease so that you can increase, my God. I pray, Father, that you have your way, my God. I pray, Father, for minds to be open, my God, for hearts to receive, my God. And I pray for chains to be broken in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Jesus' name, amen. You can go ahead and have your seat. Once again, I just want to thank Pastor Ryan, pastoral team, for the opportunity. God is truly doing some amazing things in Pneuma. Can we agree? Oh, man, some of you guys don't believe. God is doing some amazing things, church. Last week, over 585 people attended the English service. I believe there was over 200 in the Spanish service. So God is doing something amazing. And I believe that revival is coming. Revival is coming. See, to understand what Isaiah is writing here, I have to give you a little bit of context of what's been going on. Because when Isaiah steps into the scene, he's speaking to a people that, he's not speaking to a people, he's speaking to a divided nation. You see, over 200 years prior, King Solomon, you know, well, everybody knows the story of King Solomon, right? More at the end. You know, he had over 700 wives, 300 concubines, all that fun stuff. He started to fall into sin. And in the book of 1 Kings chapter 11, God tells Solomon, hey, I'm going to tear this kingdom away from you. But I'm not going to do it with you. I'm going to do it with your sons. So then he divides Israel. Israel takes up the northern part, and then the tribe of Judah takes the southern part. And in the southern part, you also have the tribe of Benjamin as well. So we see right now that Isaiah is really speaking to the tribe of Judah. You see, Israel at this time, they're on the edge of destruction. The Assyrian Empire is rising, and judgment is not just coming, it's literally at the door. But what about Judah? See, Judah is still standing, but spiritually, they're declining. They had religion, they still had rituals, they had the appearance of devotion, but their hearts were far from God. I believe that we have a lot of churches today that their hearts are away from God. They have an understanding of who God is, but not the revelation of who he is. So, God raises up Isaiah with a clear message. When you read the book of Isaiah, it's literally repent, judgment is coming, but restoration is still possible through the Messiah. Isaiah is preaching to people who look right on the outside, but are drifting away on the inside. And when you start to read this book, literally chapters 1 through 39, there's tension. It's filled with a lot of warnings, judgment, and a call to turn back. But then when you get to chapter 40 and on, something shifts. Because the tone is now changing. Now you begin to hear hope, restoration, and the promise that God is not finished with his people. Can I just tell you today that if you feel that you've drifted away, God is not done with you yet? God is not done with you yet. You may feel distant, but God is not done with you yet. So when we get to chapter 64, something even deeper happens. This is no longer just God speaking to the people. Now it's the people crying out to God. Isaiah is no longer delivering a message. He is standing in the gap. He is interceding. Because there's a moment when preaching is not enough. There's a moment when the information that you have is not going to be enough. You need intercession. And this is a different kind of prayer. This isn't a casual prayer. This is the kind of prayer that you see in Ezra chapter 9. This is the kind of prayer that you see in the book of Daniel chapter 9. This is the kind of prayer that you see in Nehemiah chapter 1. Where a man of God stands before heaven, confesses the condition of the people and cries out, God, we need you to move again. God, we need you to move again. Church, we need God to move again. We need God to move again in our lives. We need God to move again in our homes. We need God to move again in our marriages. We need God to come move again in our families. See, this chapter is a desperate prayer from someone who remembered God's power. They recognized their spiritual dryness. If I were to put it in today's terms, these are the people that come to church and sing a song and clap, but inward, they're just dry. So they remember what God used to do. They recognize what they have become. They refuse to live without his presence. And now they long for God to move again. This is not a casual prayer. He's not asking for a program. He is asking for an invasion from heaven to earth. This is the cry of every Christian heart. God, don't just visit. I want you to tear the heavens open. I need you to come down. See, this isn't just a normal cry. This is a cry for revival. Not to just to dwell. Not to visit, but to dwell. He's asking God to interrupt the natural with the supernatural. See, we need God in our lives. We need God to move. We need to wrestle. We pray. We need to intercede. Oh, that you would just tear open the heavens and come down. You see, this is the kind of prayer that refuses to settle for a routine church. You want to know what my confirmation was for this sermon? Literally what was just spoken right now. Because this isn't a box that we just check. Pastor Ryan said it best. If you need a song to worship, to seek God's presence, what are we doing? He is worthy of your presence even without a song. He is worthy of your presence even without a sermon. But what are we doing, church, to look, to seek? Where's that hunger, that desire, that thirst for God's word? I don't want a word that's just going to tickle my ear. I need the word of God. I need his presence in my life. I need to be moved by the Almighty. See, we don't want to just talk about God. We want to have an encounter. We want to know him. This is a desperate cry for divine intervention. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. This is a desperate cry. Tear open literally means to rip, to split, to rupture. See, this cry is a cry that's rejecting distance. I don't want God to be over there. I want him to come down right now. I need him to come down. You see, Isaiah's recognizing that they had fell into a routine, into sin. They were lukewarm believers. Do you know what it means to be lukewarm? You're not even hot, you're not even cold. You're halfway in, but halfway out. You come to church on a Sunday, but you start living your life again on a Monday. See, and the book of Revelation tells us something about this. Revelation 3, 15, 16, Jesus is telling John to write to the church of Laodicea, I know all the things that you do. Don't think that he don't know what you're doing. Even when you're in secret, when you're in your room where nobody's looking, he knows what you're doing. He says that you're neither hot nor cold. He's like, and I wish that you were one or the other. Because at least if you're cold, what happens when you're cold? You start to quiver, right? You start to shake and you start to look for the heat. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Church, if you're lukewarm right now, I want you to hear that last part. I will spit you out of my mouth. You see, it's only a broken and repentant heart that recognizes the need of the power of God and the need of a move of God. Isaiah 29:13 says, because you can draw near with your mouth and honor me with your lips, but your heart be far from me. You see, we create the distance. And yet we always want to sit here and blame God. God, where are you? Where have you been? Don't you know that I needed help? But where have you been in your life? Where has your life been in seeking prayer, in seeking his presence, in digging into his word? See, there's this famous 18th century preacher that said this about a lukewarm church. The world is always at peace with a lukewarm church. The world is at peace when you're just comfortable. The world is at peace when you're not really out there on fire for God. And such a church is always pleased by itself. You see, there are a lot of churches here in the West that have become more pleased with what they present than what God is doing in their lives. You can worship with a lot of emotion, but lack true surrender. You can sing all the amazing songs. We just sang this song, Nothing Else. I just want you. I just need you. but you're not even living what you're singing. Come on, bro, what are we doing? And you know what the result of that is? It is a very attractive church. It's a very, as Pastor Danny says, it's very good looking. It's a filled church, but with untransformed lives. You see, this kind of cry demands an encounter. Isaiah is not asking for something materialistic here. He simply is seeking God. He simply wants God. He's not seeking information. He wants the manifestation. He's not looking for the sermons alone. Oh, the ones that, you know, that come down and they make you feel good. He's wanting an encounter with glory. He's not even looking for structure. He's simply looking for heaven. And church, doesn't this resemble Acts 2? Day of Pentecost, when the heavens didn't stay closed and the Holy Spirit came down with power. See, when the apostles were up in that upper room, what were the two things that really stuck out? What were they doing? They were praying and they were united in prayer. Nowadays, we don't even have a united church. Everybody has their own agenda. Everybody has their own thing on what they want to do. But where's God in all that? You see, this is a cry that is born out of hunger. Only hungry people can pray like this. God, tear open the heavens and come down. This is a desperate cry. You see, comfort never produces this level of prayer. This is why the world is always at peace with a lukewarm church. There's no true hunger. There's no true desire to seek God's presence. There is power in prayer. There is power in prayer. Some of you need to be reminded of that today. Can I just tell you that over 3 weeks ago at my job, I had to fire somebody. And I know, I knew, you know, what they did was merited a worth of them being fired. But what made me reach out to them right afterwards was I could see that there was like a need. There was a he had become a just numb to a lot of things. He was dealing with desperation. And I called him up afterwards and I started to speak to him. And as I started to speak to him, he started to open up and he started to cry. And he started to tell me, he's like, man, I've thought about suicide. I've thought about this. I've thought about that. And I just tell him, bro, can I just tell you one thing? That the reason that you feel so empty is because nothing in this world can ever fill the void that you have. It's only in the name of Christ. Christ is the only thing that can fill you. Christ is the only thing that can ever make you feel whole. And church, the next thing that he asked is what blew my mind. Because he said, I know you're a man of faith, but can you pray for me? I guess I should have started off by telling you that this guy is atheist, borderline agnostic. And he's asking for prayer. And I'm not going to lie, I was caught off guard. I was like, wait, you want me to pray right now? Or like, you mean just keep you in prayer? Because we do that a lot, right? Like, oh, somebody asked, do you want me to pray for you? Like, keep in my prayer? All right, got it. No, he said, I want you to pray for me right now. And then the next thing that he said just blew my mind. Blew my mind. Pastor, an atheist, a borderline agnostic. Do you know what he said? I know that there is power in prayer. In that moment, I wanted to cry. Not because of what was happening in that moment. Because in that moment, the Holy Spirit hit me. And he said, there's a church that prays but doesn't believe in the power of prayer. There is a church that prays but doesn't really seek my presence. There is a church that prays but is all empty words. And yet I have this guy who's asking for prayer. Church, if this guy believes in the power of prayer, how much more should we? Knowing everything that God has done in our lives, knowing everything that he's done, the transformation that has been had, the restoration that we've seen, the healing that we've seen, how much more should we believe? You see, revival doesn't start with programs. It starts with hunger that won't be denied. Isaiah is asking something that man can't produce. Only God can bring revival. Only God can bring the awakening. It's not what you do, church. It's what he does. See, the manifestation of God's presence is powerful. When you read the verse, you can keep on reading. It says the mountains quake at your presence. Mountains represent obstacles, systems, strongholds that seem immovable. But when my God steps into the scene, even mountains bow down before him. Those immovable things that are happening in your life, the addiction, the strongholds that are within you. When my God steps into the scene, there's transformation. See, God's presence shakes what man cannot move. What therapy can't fix, God can shake. What systems can't change, God can dismantle. In one moment, his presence can shift years of struggle. You guys ever seen the movie Jesus Revolution? There's this one scene that I love because right as you know, the church is growing, right? And Chuck Smith is letting all these hippies in, right? There's a man that comes in and he's in a wheelchair. He's like, I need help. A few scenes later, you see this man handing out flyers and they're asking him, what happened? He's like, I don't know what to tell you. They prayed. They prayed and everything they had is gone. How can that be if not for the transforming power of our God? See, his presence is not passive, it's disruptive. We got to get that right, church. It's going to disrupt. You see, when God shows up, things don't stay the same. You don't believe me? When God shows up, sin is exposed. When God shows up, chains are broken. When God shows up, hearts are transformed. Marriages are restored. The prodigal sons come home. Church, we need God. We need God. It's not what you do. It's not by your own might. It's not by your own strength, but by his spirit. Just this past Friday, most of you guys know, is I do prison ministry. And for those of you who ever want to join in, please feel free to come and see me afterwards. But there was a guy there that, I kid you not, tatted from the head up, you know, from the feet up, tatted all over his head. And we were talking about the things that God can transform, right? And if I brought that man in right now, most people would probably say, like, oh, what's his true intention to be here? And I was reminded of what Pastor Danny once talked about when he shared his testimony of the tattoos that he had. And I stood that man up because we got to a point where we were talking about how people will try to identify you by who you were. And I told the group there, and I said, guys, I said, my pastor once said this as well. But can I just show you one thing really quick? All this can represent the gangs, the drugs, right? The woman being in the game. But all this shows is the power of God. Because it's what, look what God did. Look what he took him out of. This man now is one of the most loving men I could ever meet. Every time I see him, he shakes my hand. He gives me a warm embrace. But what if we were to see him here, church? Can we do that today? Can we welcome someone who maybe doesn't fit the mold of what we think a Christian should look like? What does a Christian look like? There is no outward appearance. It's what's in the heart. So we need his presence to change lives. But I love how it says that the mountains would quake. Guys, this is a true reflection of Exodus 19. That Mount Sinai trembled when God descended. Do you tremble at his presence? You see, his presence will bring a holy fear. Not the fear that pushes away, but the fear that draws you in. See, there's a reverence that says that God is here. You know, we often stand up for whenever somebody important comes in. But when the King of Kings, when the Lord of Lords, when God himself, all we can do is bow down and say, "You are holy." See, this is a realization that you are standing in something before someone sacred, before someone holy. You know, Pastor Ryan said this earlier. We don't need better, the environments, right? We're talking about the environments. We don't need better environments. We need the presence that shakes the environments. So we move on. It says, as fire kindles brushwood, as fire causes water to boil. You see, God's fire purifies and reveals. Fire in the scriptures represents the Holy Spirit, purification and power. Fire consumes what is dry and dead. You see, brushwood burns quickly. It represents the things that don't belong. God's fire exposes and removes sin, pride, and lukewarmness. I don't know if you guys ever seen this. It's called God's Chisel, but there's two men and they're doing this little skit. And this guy's praying, and then all of a sudden, God appears, right? And he's like, "Oh, change me." So God starts to like chisel away. "Oh, this is your pride. This is your ego. This is this. This is that." He's like, "Well, wait a minute, God, what are you doing? You're taking too much out." God can only work with a person who's going to truly surrender their heart. So when you get into the presence of God and you see everything that's being exposed, you realize who you are before an almighty God. You realize that the person that you are, that the pride that you carry, the ego that you have, the resentfulness, the bitterness, the frustration, it all gets exposed. You can't live in the joy of the Lord if you're still dealing with resentment. Bro, I'm gonna share something. And this is pretty personal. I don't think majority of my friends know this. But I was molested as a little kid. And every day, I carried an anger and a resentment until I reconciled my life to God. I was able to call that person up. And not that they were looking for anything. I didn't even know what state they were in. And I just said, "I forgive you. I forgive you. Because I don't want to deal with the same hurt that I've been carrying. I had experienced something new in my life, and it was the joy of the Lord. And how can I be joyful and bitter at the same time? It doesn't make sense." And now you have a lot of Christians that don't even enjoy their salvation, that don't even have the joy of their salvation, and they suffer it. They hurt, they get bitter because, "Oh, this brother was talking about me. Oh, pastor didn't call me out." So what? Stop looking for man's recognition and look for God's recognition in your life. How can you want revival when you're still dealing with all this other stuff? You see, and then his fire produces intensity. Water is boiling. Water boiling is a picture of transformation. You know, in leadership, there's this skit where when you turn on the water and you put it at 211 degrees, you know, it starts to boil, right? Like it'll eventually get to that boiling part. But when you take it 1 degree up at 212, that's when you start to see steam. See, this is when you start to get active. You're maybe in your walk right now. This is where you're at, and you're saying, "Hey, God, you know, like I'm walking, and there's just things that I'm still dealing with." But you're walking. Don't ever underestimate how God is using you. Don't ever underestimate how God is moving in your life. Don't ever underestimate what God is doing in you, with you, and through you. You see, there's something that's happening because the Holy Spirit is moving within you. And when the Holy Spirit is within you, there's a fire. There's a consuming fire that gets deep into your soul, deep into your heart. And you can't stay cold anymore. You begin to burn with the passion of God. This is why when you see like new believers, new converts, and they say, man, I've been reading, bro. Good, keep on reading. I remember when I first reconciled my life to God, I was reading like 10, 12 chapters a day. And then as I continued on, it started to go from 2 chapters to 3 verses. And then I had to remind myself, I'm like, what am I doing? What are we doing? See, fire makes God known. To make your enemy known to your adversaries, God reveals himself through power. His fire becomes a testimony. Look at what happened in 1 Kings chapter 18 when fire fell on Elijah's altar. You guys remember that? You know, Elijah goes up and he says, hey, bring 400 of the 50 of the prophets of Baal. And let's do an offering. The only thing that you're not going to do, though, is we're going to call fire from heaven. And whoever God answers, that's the one who's the one true God. And of course, I'm paraphrasing here. So he tells him, hey, you guys go first. And I don't know if you guys remember, but man, I think Elijah, there's a lot of people who have the spirit of Elijah because, you know, as they were kind of like, you know, they were trying to cry out and they were cutting themselves. You know, Elijah's mocking them. He's like, oh, maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's asleep. Cry louder. I think some of us have that same spirit, right? I know Pastor Danny does. But you know what's crazy? Fire didn't fall down. And here's the thing that blew my mind when I was really looking at that passage, because fire didn't come down because Elijah asked for it. If you read the passage carefully, when it's his turn, he repairs the altar first. There's some of you guys that need to repair the altar for the fire to come down. There's some of you guys in there that need to invite the Holy Spirit for fire to fall down. And he starts to pray. And never once does he ask for the fire. After he was done praying, that's when that fire came down. And you know what? It was only the fire that fell. Because when fire from heaven comes down, the people fell. When fire from heaven comes down, you need to fall. You see, the prophets of Baal fell as well. And you know what the most beautiful part is when you continue reading? That's when the rain fell too. That whole dryness that you've been dealing with, God can get you wet. See, God will move in unexpected ways. God is not limited by our expectations, church. He moves beyond our logic. He moves beyond our tradition. And he moves beyond what we think is possible. Like Pastor Ryan said, we sometimes put God in a box. And we only want to open that box whenever we need something. We try to treat him as our puppet. Like, I need you now, then I'm going to call out to you. But you see, revival will always break the normal patterns. It disrupts the schedules. It disrupts the routines. It challenges the comfort zones. The greatest move often will surprise you. Deliverance where we expected defeat. Healing where we expected decline. Church, have we not seen healing in this church? Have we not seen the miracle of healing in this church? I mean, Brother Joel's dad was in a bad car accident a few years ago. Wasn't expected to live, wasn't expected to walk. And I still remember the day that I went to go visit him. He was showing me a video. And you know, the crazy thing was that he was joyful. He wasn't even walking yet. All he was doing was moving his foot. It was like this. And he was excited. Am I right, Joe? He was excited. Because the doctors probably told him, hey, you shouldn't even be walking. You're not going to be able to walk again. But he's excited that his foot is moving. Some of you guys get caught up on being half cup half empty and not cup half full. This movement was proof that he was going to be able to start walking again. And some of you, we stay stuck. We stay crippled. God is not going to move in the way that you think. You see, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And his ways are not our ways. So why do we think that we know better? The only thing that you can do, the only real thing that you can ever do is just trust in God. Trust. Trust and wait on him. You see, if you can predict it, it's probably not God's full move. And I'm almost done here. God's presence will impact the nations. Church, I remember a few years ago, we had Pastor Abram here from Destiny Church, and he was giving a leadership seminar. And he was talking about how Pneuma is centrally located in all of Houston. And I was like, well, he's right. I started to think about it, like looking at the map. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's kind of right. But why are we centrally located, church? Could it be that there's a divine purpose for Pneuma? Could it be because the revival that's happening at Pneuma is meant to spread out not only into this community, not only into this city, not only into every county, but Texas, guys? You see, we need revival. Christ didn't die on a cross so that we could stay with this treasure. We are meant to go out and proclaim and preach and make disciples. This needs to be a church of action. Revival doesn't come because you're right here in your corner. Revival will come because men and women are for God. Men and women are on fire for God. Men and women are seeking the genuine presence of God for him to tear open the heavens and to come down. Church, he doesn't just want to touch individuals. He wants to impact cities, regions, nations. He says, go out and make disciples of all nations. You see, the Azusa Street Revival, I don't know if you guys have heard about that, but this happened back in the early 1900s, 1906. And what started off was really, it was in a house of men and women praying, seeking the presence of God. And before they knew it, after a few days, it started to get packed. Where that room that they were in, it couldn't contain it. They couldn't contain everybody that was coming in. So the pastor, he started speaking from his porch. And then that got so packed that the porch broke and they needed a building. And they went out and found this building on Azusa Street. 3.5 years of revival. 3.5 years of revival. God, he's doing it with Pneuma. But this has to be a church that surrenders to the will of God. This has to be a church that seeks him day and night. This has to be a church that is hungry and thirsty. You see, when you're on fire for God, God gets the glory over every adversary, because spiritual opposition cannot stand. Darkness cannot resist his light. Every enemy is exposed when he appears. This is why when you look at the demons, when Jesus would approach, they would say, are you here to torment us? But now we're living with thoughts instead of with the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, where are we at? We are called Pneuma prophetically. See, this isn't just a church for the Holy Spirit. We are moved, led, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you truly cried out for God's presence? Do we want revival? Do we truly want revival? Are you just okay being comfortable? Be honest with yourself. Analyze your heart. Do you want revival? What would change if God tore open the heavens in your life today? What would change in your marriage if God tore open the heavens for your marriage today? What would change if He just tore open the heavens for your family today? I'm going to ask you to stand. I don't believe this was just a sermon. This was an invitation, church. The same cry of Isaiah 64 is echoing today. Oh God, tear open the heavens and come down. There are people right now that are feeling distant from God, who've just been going through the motions, who've lost the fire that you once had. Can I just tell you that even if you've lost that fire, God will reignite it. Last year was the hardest year of my life. In my family, we had 2 deaths within 6 weeks of each other. And everything about me was hurting. And I never wanted to reach out to anybody. But I was hurting. I was broken inside. And there was a moment when I was in my car driving with my wife and I was so angry. And I said, God, the moment that I see people who have hurt me, the moment that I've seen the people who have hurt my loved ones on sight, God. And it was in that very moment that where I should have been punished, where I should have, God should have just dealt with me. He showed me nothing but grace. He said, no. He said, because you can't break the image that you carry. The light that you carry cannot be dimmed. And I started to cry out to God. I said, God, restore the joy of my salvation. And then I started praying, God, just tear open the heaven. Tear open the heavens over my life. So I want to ask you today, do you need to feel that fresh fire? Then come up and get prayer. Do you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit again? Then come up. Do you want the chains to be broken? Then come up. Do you want your soul to be revived? Then come up. You see, because when God comes down, mountains will shake, fire will fall, and your life will never be the same again. Can we be that church? Can we say, God, I need you. I need you. I need your presence.
If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.